Senator Burr, a lot of folks are concerned right now about the immigration situation and the possibility of immigration reform. I guess specifically I'm talking about controlling our borders. It's a critical issue for a lot of people. Yet the word from Washington is it looks like there's not going to be much done this year. Bring us up to date and let us know what the situation is.
Well, Larry, just this week the House announced 27 additional field hearings across the country on immigration, primarily to take place during the month of August, but to look at all facets of the immigration issue. I think it's still believable that the House and the Senate can come together, can work out an immigration bill this year, one that is comprehensive but is not triggered until there's a certification that we have funded and manned the needed points as it relates to securing the southern border specifically. I think everything is contingent on our ability to certify to the American people that our borders are secure.
Let me ask you about the situation with the state of Colorado. They recently passed their own immigration reform laws. If a number of states did this, would this not cause a problem for the country in general, or do you see this as maybe being the beginning of a trend for states to enact their own immigration reform?
Well, I certainly support states' rights and their ability to make decisions as they see fit. But I also believe that there is a federal trump on certain issues. And the national security of this country is a federal issue. We want to be partners with states and local law enforcement. I believe we have to change the model from the past where it was only top-down driven, and that we need to bring local law enforcement, as we have the National Guard, in a partnership with the federal government to make sure that we leverage all the assets at our disposal so that we can stop the leakage that we have in immigration policy today. We've done it as it relates to the war on terror, and we've integrated not only the CIA and the FBI, but we've been integrated into that local law enforcement, state law enforcement, first responders, so that they all sit at the table and they coordinate the efforts. I believe we need to do the same on border security. So I believe that it's probably not in our best long-term interest that we have 50 different plans, 50 different states. I believe it really is imperative that the federal government lay that blueprint out there so that states know exactly how they interact.
Folks in North Carolina, of course, Senator, are concerned about the high cost of gasoline and other forms of energy. Is there anything that's taking place in the Senate right now, in the Congress in general, that folks can look at optimistically as far as help with the energy and gasoline cost?
There is, and the high cost of energy is a worldwide problem today. Individuals, regardless of where they are, have experienced the same types of increases that the American public have faced. You might remember that in August of last year, we passed the Energy Policy Act. It took 8 years to get that new Energy Policy Act out, and it took effect in January. So we're right now 6 months into it, and some of the benefits of that bill are beginning to kick in. But clearly the instability around the world has caused the most significant spike, probably $20 or $25 a barrel can be attributed to that. We're continuing to try to address domestic supply. We're working with automobile manufacturers to encourage them to raise the fuel standards of the vehicles that they market. I think this is a combination of three things that America must address. We have to address domestic supply. We have to make the United States conscious of conservation. And I believe that at the end of the day, it is imperative that we drive technology to develop alternative fuels to a level that up till this point we've been unable to stimulate.
Now, Senator, let me ask you about the situation with the war in Iraq. From your standpoint as a member of the United States Senate, some folks are beginning to question the advisability of our remaining in Iraq at this point and in the future, especially, I guess, with an eye on the North Koreans and some of the things that they're doing right now. How do you feel about the war in Iraq? And let me ask you at the same time your reaction to the situation with the North Koreans.
Well, I think that if you look historically at North Korea, they have taken every opportunity where the world was somewhat in chaos to cause more chaos. So it's not a coincidence that this has all happened while the world has been focused on Iraq and Iran. And I think to some degree we have proven in the past we can deal with more than one thing at any given time. I'm not sure that a military option is necessarily anybody's choice as it relates to North Korea. So that's why I'm not sure that we're disadvantaged in any way being currently involved in Iraq and Afghanistan. But I think that we will aggressively go after the diplomatic path to resolve North Korea. That will require a new level of engagement by the Chinese specifically, but the Russians as well. I think the same blueprint will be followed as it relates to the troubling developments in Iran. But I think Iran is a great example of why we have to be successful in Iraq, why we can't leave until the Iraqi security can, in fact, secure their own country. There's enough instability in that region that one country that has a stable democracy is going to be absolutely essential to solve the problems that exist in Iran, to solve the problems that exist between the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Lebanese, and I think to make sure that instability does not spread to other countries in the Middle East. So I believe the president's made the right decision. I clearly believe that we have to assess it on a periodic basis as it relates to any type of civil war that may begin to arise. And certainly we're not there yet, but we've seen some of the fighting between factions within the country. And I think we have to pause and remind ourselves that for three decades, Saddam Hussein committed genocide against the Shiites. We can't expect everybody to wake up one day with a new government and forget what happened. We need to make sure that Mr. Malaki has the ability to unite their country in under this new democracy.
One final question, Senator Burr. We know that President Bush is at a low point, at least as far as the popularity polls are concerned, and a lot of Republican candidates for office this year are a little bit concerned about that. Do you see President Bush as a liability or as an asset for Republican candidates this year?
Well, Larry, just last week I joined the president at Fort Bragg as he spoke to our soldiers. I'm not scared to be with the president whenever he calls. I'm more than willing to be with him. I was elected about a year and a half ago, and the president's numbers were at 45% that day. Today, the newest poll has the president's numbers at 42%. Clearly, we would all like to be loved by a majority of the people that we represent. But when you make tough decisions, when you make decisions that are going to affect generations that aren't here today, but generations that we owe it to make the right decisions, you realize that not everybody's going to be happy. I think the president's gone through a prolonged period of numbers that have not been that attractive. But I am convinced that this is a man who doesn't have anything else in life to run for, but he does have a commitment in his gut to do what's right for the future of this country. So I'm very confident when I stand behind him and support his decisions.